favorite television shows is what not to wear. I enjoy watching Stacy and Clinton telling and teaching and showing people who have absolutely no fashion sense how to dress, how to shop, what to buy, what to avoid. And I think I'm learning something from watching them because I have no fashion sense myself. At least not in the things of this world. I discovered that pleated fronts on your pants make you look bigger. Well, without them, I look huge. And I've discovered that all black is not always the best thing to wear. Poor preachers indeed. What Not to Wear is a fascinating show because they'll take someone and they'll videotape them in secret showing what they're wearing or what they dare to wear. And then they'll put them in this 360-degree mirror closet with their clothing on and make them look at themselves all around. Now, just the thought of that gives me the heebie-jeebies, friends. The idea of seeing, it's bad enough looking at yourself on front in a mirror. But can you imagine looking at all angles of the self? My word. Good lands of Goshen, I didn't know I looked this bad from behind. There are parts we are not meant to see, indeed. That's why God didn't give us eyes in the back of our heads. Fashion sense is not something that comes naturally because there is nothing natural about fashion sense. It's made up by the marketers in New York City, by the fashion industry, by people who make a living telling us what we want to wear and make a living telling us what we should or should not wear. Fashion sense is artificial, in other words. Fashion sense is made up. Fashion sense in this world is transitory. What is in today is out tomorrow. And what will be in tomorrow, you can't get in the stores today. And I'm usually about 2 years too late in the styles. It's a never-ending battle. Is it? Of course, you watch old movies like I do and you see, like for example, William Powell in The Thin Man wearing those wonderful, great, worsted wool, double-breasted suits. Those things are still in, friends, and they look good. But women's fashions, they go all over the place. And what's in 1 week almost is not in the next week. In other words, it's all a great big waste of time. And it's exactly what the devil wants us to be doing. Wasting our time, focusing on that which is passing, focusing on that which has absolutely no bearing on eternity. Instead, we should be paying attention to the heavenly fashion show. I had some people looking at the title of my sermon and saying, "The heavenly fashion show?" And I said, it's better than titling it, What Not to Wear. But I could have. I'd get in trouble with the copyright holder of that term. What not to wear is what the world tells us to wear. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
What not to wear is what the world tells us to wear, which is what? The me, the self-focus. We cover up our sinful natures with good-looking outside garments. We pretend as though we are pretty and stylish and fashionable, while inside we're nothing but dead man's bones and uncleanliness. The world wants us to wear a fake exterior, while on the inside we do nothing but sin. The world doesn't want us to put on the whole armor of God. And there's a reason. You see, if all we combated in this world, if all we fought against in this world, if all we were facing in this world were simply other people trying to lead us astray, it'd be easy. If all we faced in this life were bad examples, it'd be easy. If all we faced in this life were people trying to tell us how to live according to the wrong rules, the wrong way, the wrong will, the will of some made-up group, it'd be all right. We'd be able to get around it. But we don't live in a world as simple as that, as easy as that. We live in a world that is contextualized by a war, by a battle, by a conflict, by, indeed, not just a world war, but an eternal war between God and Satan. Paul writes about it here in the letter to the Ephesians, where he says, "For our struggle is not against enemies of blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places." We don't fight, my friends, against Madison Avenue marketing schemes alone. We don't fight, my friends, against bad influences alone. We fight against Satan in this world. We fight for our very eternal lives against the powers and forces of darkness. And Paul's choice of wording here in Ephesians should not be missed. Here in verse 12, "For our struggle is not against enemies of flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness." Rulers, the very first word used here, literally means leaders. It's archos. It's a word which was used of the first, the principal leader, the leader who begins it all, the first rebeller, who was Satan. Lucifer, before he fell, in his fall, is known as the accuser, Satan, Satan. We face him, the leader of the rebellion, the first leader, the archos. We face the rulers, the ruler, if you will, the archos. The second word, that's the first one, rulers. Against authorities, exousia, authorities. And it's not just earthly authorities, but spiritual authorities. The ruler, Satan, Satan, and the authorities, his minions, his demons, if you will, his angels who fell with him in the third of heaven. Archos and exousias, against the rulers, against the authorities, and against the cosmic powers of this present darkness. Cosmokrataros in Greek. Cosmos from universal, krataros powers, the universal powers, the cosmic powers. We face, my friends, not other people. When you were ill in the hospital, Don, you were not fighting just a physical illness. You were fighting archos, exousios, and cosmokrataros. You were fighting the leader, Satan, his minions, the demons, and indeed the all the spiritual forces of darkness trying to take you down. Peggy when she fight against cancer. In her battle, in her war against cancer, has been fighting not just against the physical illness of cancer, this evil disease. She's been fighting against the spiritual forces of darkness. When we fight in this life against medical concerns, yes, there is the physicality there, but behind all illness, behind all sickness, is the Archos, is the Exousios, is the Cosmokratoros, the ruler, the authorities, and the cosmic powers. We fight not an earthly battle, my friends. We fight an eternal one. That's why what not to wear is such a silly idea. And yet, it's not. What not to wear? What not to wear is the things of this life. Soldiers don't go to war in Iraq against terrorists wearing shorts and t-shirts. They don't go to war against terrorists and soldiers wearing a baseball uniform. They don't go to war. Soldiers don't go to battle in the everyday mundane clothing of this life. They go in armor. They go with Kevlar jackets. They go in boots with helmets. They wear a uniform that identifies who they are and what side they're fighting with. They go in uniform geared for battle. They don't go to fight dressed in everyday clothing. Soldiers don't go to battle wearing pajamas, friends. They go wearing uniforms and armor, which typify and express who they are fighting for and give them the protections and the armaments needed to fight. And we, my friends, we are in an army too. We also are at war. We also are on a battlefield, but it's a battlefield for our Lord. And we are engaged in a military operation for Jesus. What are we doing? Worrying about the fashion sense of this world, about what the world thinks we should wear and not wear, when we should be paying attention to what God says we should wear, metaphorically speaking. And not so metaphorically speaking. Listen to what he says, what Paul says here in the letter to the Ephesians. Therefore, because we fight not against flesh and blood, but against rulers and against authorities and against cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places, therefore, verse 13, take up the whole armor of God so that you may be able to withstand on that evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand therefore and fasten the belt of truth around your waist and put on the breastplate of righteousness. As shoes for your feet, put on whatever will make you ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. With all of these, take the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Wow. That's what to wear, friends. Can I get an amen? That's what to wear. Not the junk of this life. Not pajamas, not shorts and t-shirts, not jeans, not tuxedos, not suits, not robes, but the whole armor of God. Somebody once said to me, is it okay if people come to church wearing shorts and t-shirt? You know what? Now, I don't want to see it. And don't any of you take me up on it. But I don't care if they come to church naked, so long as they come in the whole armor of God. And that means coming in faith. ready to be clothed by Christ's righteousness, ready to be armed by the Spirit of God, ready to live in faith and respond in faith to the marching orders God has for us. You can come in a tuxedo, you can come in jeans, or you can come in shorts. I don't care. Just come and put on the whole armor of God. Amen. Listen to this armor again. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, so that you will be able to withstand on that evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Don't you want to be able to withstand against the attacks of the devil? Yes. Amen. Put on the whole armor of God. Stand therefore and fasten the belt of truth around your waist. Jesus said, when he was asked, what is truth? He says, my word is truth. Jesus, his word, his proclamation, which is his very self, is our belt. Our belt on which we hang our armaments. Our belt which keeps our pants up, metaphorically speaking. Our belt is the truth of God. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God. Stand therefore and fasten the belt of truth around your waist, and put on the breastplate of righteousness. What did a breastplate do? You know, it really wasn't, I mean, it's a pretty strong piece of armor, but it could be pierced. But most especially when arrows would fly at you in combat, the breastplate served to deflect them, to protect that central part of your body. Take an arrow in the arm, take an arrow in the leg. You're okay, it hurts, but you're not going to die unless you get gangrene or something. But here, you're going to die. The breastplate of righteousness. And righteousness comes from God, from the Holy Spirit, from His grace dwelling within us, transforming us with righteousness, with God's righteousness shielding us. We have nothing to fear. So put on the belt of truth and the breastplate of righteousness. As shoes for your feet, put on whatever will make you ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. We should be ready at all times, in every instant, at every moment of our lives, to proclaim with our words and our actions the gospel of peace. Peace is the end of againstness with God. The word is eirene, and it means God's wholeness, health, presence manifested in your life. Put on whatever enables you to proclaim the good news, the gospel of peace. That's what we're called to be doing. At the funeral for Bishop Moncur yesterday, I listened as Bishop Palmer was preaching his sermon, and one of the things he said struck me. He said, Bishop Moncur was always ready to preach as if every single sermon mattered. And guess what? It does. Every single day that we live, every single person we meet, every single opportunity to live as the children of God and be heard and seen as the sermon of God matters. There is no throwaway day. There is no throwaway opportunity. Every person, every opportunity matters as a sermon for the gospel of peace. No matter where you are, you have an opportunity to express the love and the peace of God to everyone. And we are called to do it all the time. Well, I think I'll just take a vacation from preaching the gospel of peace. I'll go off on vacation. I think, I don't want to be known as a minister. I think I'll hide out. I think I'll just wear normal clothing. I think if somebody asks me, what do you do for a living? I think I'll say, I'm a professor. Professor of God, yes, but it's still deceitful because I don't tell them of what. I want to hide out and pretend as though I'm not a pastor of the gospel, a minister of the gospel of peace. I want to hide out and pretend as though I'm not what I manifestly am. And you know what? I have never been able to do it for very long. We should always be about proclaiming the gospel. You never take a vacation from the body of Christ, friends. You never take a vacation from the army of God. You never take a vacation from being a Christian. With all of these things, take the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We are called to take up the shields that God provides us and take in our hand the only weapon we ever need, the Word of God. The Word of God is firstly the Word made flesh, Jesus. Then it is the proclamation of the church written in Scripture, inspired by the Holy Spirit. The Word of God, the Spirit of God manifested in Scripture, manifested in the proclamation of the church, manifested in the life written on the hearts of all believers. The Word of God, the Spirit of righteousness, the Spirit of truth, is our only weapon. And we're called to wield it with faith. My friends, what not to wear is what the world tells us to wear. What to wear is the whole armor of God. Let us be about wearing this whole armor of God. Let us be about wearing these gifts of God's grace, this shield, this belt, these shoes, and let us take up the only weapon we need, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and let us go into battle for our Lord. Remember what Paul says. For our struggle is not against enemies of blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. We battle in this world not against the things of this world, but against Satan himself. The gospel, the good news is that we don't face him naked. We face him with Jesus Christ our Lord, clothing us with his righteousness, clothing us with his gospel, clothing us with his power, arming us with his word. Let us go forth, recognizing our enemy and knowing what to wear.
You have been listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of First United Methodist Church of Sigelville, Texas, and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright by Dr. Gregory S. Neal, all rights reserved. For more information or to listen to other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at First United Methodist Church, 101 South Kaufman Street, Sigelville, Texas, 75159. This program was produced by Dr. Greg Neal.